Kathy, are you here? I don't have you. Do I have you? Let's see. Kathy? Is that you back there? I can't see you if that's you. Well, I sent you one something anyway, so. Okay, so if you could go to your Bibles, let's go to Psalm 118, verse 19. We sing a song around here. I shall not die but live. Declare the works of the Lord. So we're dealing on a Wednesday night. We're dealing with how to deal with crises. How to deal with crises. And so thank you for that. Let's go to 14:22. Okay, let's see here. Okay. Did you find your scripture yet? A little slow here. Very much for that. 14:22 here. Oops. Well, it's been a lovely day so far, and the evening is going to be even better. Right? Okay, so we've been dealing with, on Wednesday night, we've been dealing with the subject of dealing with the topics that are dealing with life's problems. And so I entitled this message tonight, What to Do in Times of Trouble or Crisis Time. What to do in time of crisis. That's what we want to talk about. What to do in time of crisis. So Psalm 118, verse 19, I picked that scripture because I think this is a ultimate situation. It says here, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. And I was inspired today because I just had no time for anything. It's just like I've been going running around from one assignment to another assignment. And it felt like Jesus going to, you know, when he was approached by this one guy. He says, you know, my daughter is at home, and she's a young girl. She's 12 years old. She's about to die. And he said, okay, I'll come and help you out here. And while he is going, another lady came by who was very sick. She was very sick for a long, long time. And she had a problem, a big problem. She couldn't be healed by any doctor. So that's found over in Mark chapter 5. And in that time frame, there's a, you know, Brother Hagin used to call it the twin miracles. The man who had a, you know, someone who was dying, I think it was a child or somebody was really sick, or I think it was a servant. And so, you know, here he is, he's got the word of God, and he's going to minister. And sometimes, very often, as a pastor, I'm on my way to somewhere, and somebody stops me, and it's a crisis, where somebody's dying. And they remember me. They remember me when their relative is dying, and you know they know I'm here every Wednesday, every Sunday, but they say I'm sorry I haven't been around for 17 years, and I have a problem. And God put me here every Wednesday, every Sunday, year after year for the last 30 years. I've been here every Wednesday at least. If I'm not around, I'm somewhere else. So God took me away from, I was doing something legitimate in my own life. I was planning on becoming a full-time professor, finishing my PhD. That's over 30 some odd years ago. And I was, you know, pursuing my own career, and God stopped me and brought me into the ministry and put me here. So I'm here every Wednesday, every Thursday. And some people don't take that, they think it's, is this Roma speaking? But God called me here to help you and you and people that come by and listen to me, but they don't think it's important, so they leave. And so when the time of crisis comes, so they come and call me and ask me to come and be a pinch hitter. just in case I might have something or God might tell me something. And or I should pray for them or something. If I don't pray for them, then, you know, God doesn't answer prayer, or I'm not anointed. It's neither any one of those things. The problem is that people haven't been preparing themselves for what Jesus mentioned. They haven't read their Bibles. How many people understand that one of you guys here are going to come to a place where your child is going to be dying, your mom is going to be dying, or some doctor is going to tell you got 2 months to live, or you don't have any more money, you're gonna have, you know, you're running out of money. Is there somebody barking under the chair? Okay. So somebody grab that dog and take it out. There's a dog in here. It's not my dog either. We have a crisis. So there's a dog in here. Thank you for taking that puppy out. And you can come back, though. So that there is a disturbance. I have enough disturbances with my own mind. Okay. So what do you do in a time of crisis? I'm not betting on it. I'm telling you, you're going to have a crisis sometime. Not just one time, maybe more than one time. One day, the last couple of days, I don't know how many people I've met that have a situation where they're in dire need. They're in dire need. Some people need somebody to talk to in a time of crisis. They're gonna go news again, and I happen to be there to listen to them. Or somebody is going to try to commit suicide or thinking about committing suicide. And you happen to be there, or I happen to be there. Or somebody traveling through, they blew both tires out like today, and they needed money. Or a family last night was going through that needed a place to stay, and we couldn't find a hotel in the city to put these people in a hotel. We called everywhere. And you know where we find a hotel? Down at the waterfront, the brand new hotel, and it cost $200 a night. Just for one night. I had a crisis. I don't have $200 in my pocket just to give out. I don't have money just to give out tires. I don't have money for a phone, to give somebody a phone because they needed it. So people have, you know, these. I'm just talking about natural things, but there's other things that people's lives matter. And while I was coming here today, someone called me and said they had a really bad report that someone that they loved was told they don't have very much chance to live. I'm heading home to have supper, and I got stopped on my way here, so I didn't have supper. So I'm not mad about it. I'm just saying that people have crisis. They need somebody to talk to. And so I just happened to be around. I just happened to be there. And I happened to be on this and have almost 4,000 people on my Facebook. Can you imagine that? People called me last night even. And this is a good way to minister. Some of you need to be ministered. Keep your phone on if you want ministry. If you want to go in ministry, if you stand up right now, I'm going to pray for you and release you in the name of Jesus to go out in the ministry. So, now, we are talking about problems in life series on a Wednesday night. When I'm not here, one of my staff or one of the other guys are going to talk about the problems in life series. We're going to hit the things that affect people. And so I use Psalm 118, verse 19, and of course there's a song we sing around here, I Shall Not Die But Live. It's just not a fancy song. This is a real life situation. I've had these situations happen to me. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. Well, this is not just a nice song. This is actual something that happened to somebody. That they're saying, they're committing to the Word of God, and they're saying that they're going to live and not die, when the report says you're going to die. So, if you look at what is a crisis, if you ask yourself, what is a crisis anyway? Well, a crisis is an intense difficulty or danger or trouble that comes to us. It's the time when everything all of a sudden culminates in 1 second or 1 hour, when just tremendous difficulty you kind of lose your wits. How many people know when you're in stress, your mind doesn't work right? You don't make decisions right. You know, if you have intense difficulty, somehow your body protects itself, insulates itself from being damaged, so it kind of protects itself. You know, there are people when they're in shock about something. Well, the Bible, the people tell us it's the body is way of trying to, take care of itself. Shuts down like we had last Wednesday. You know, we had the transformer blowout here and affected all our lighting system, the television system, everything, the sound system, the stage lights, the board back there, control board, everything went right out. And yet we had a great time in the Lord. There was tremendous anointing there that was released. But that was sort of a crisis. That was sort of a crisis when everything all of a sudden intense, this building had a crisis in itself, physically speaking. So it was trying to protect itself. I was told about the lights. The lights have, they're smart lights. We don't have just smart television, but smart lights that shut themselves off when there's too much trouble coming in. So I think that happens to people. When you got too much trouble, you shut off. And I think I'm going to shut myself off soon, too. Well, a crisis is some intense problem, a difficulty happening, culminating at one time, bang, and then you're in some kind of danger. Your life's in danger. Somebody's in danger. So I believe that Psalm 118, verse 17, is really the intensity of situation where the guy says, you know what, I'm not going to die, I'm going to live. And I'm going to declare God's word. I'm going to tell about what God has done. And when you're in a situation, a crisis situation, you're going to have to declare to yourself that I'm not going to fall during this difficult time. I'm going to tell everybody about how good God is. That's what he's saying. I'm going through this trial right now, but I'm going to tell everybody when I'm out there, when I'm done with this whole thing, I'm going to tell everybody what God did, and that's my promise to God. And that's your promise to God. How many of you are going to believe God and say, you know what, any trouble, I'm going to tell people what I went through? Yeah. You're not supposed to keep it to yourself. You're supposed to tell people. If you're a Christian and you went through something, it's your responsibility to tell somebody about what you went through and tell them how they can help. Get help through the situation. Okay? So, let me just give you James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3 here. James is talking about a crisis situation. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you, everybody say, when you. He didn't say, maybe. He didn't say, you might. He didn't say, probably, but he made the assertion that when you, it means that you're going to have to do this. You're going to have to count a joy. You're going to consider joy when you come up. The word, it says there, when you fall into a temptation, it means when you come up to something, when you come up to this trial. He says when you fall, well, you don't, it doesn't talk about falling down, but when you're, the word fall actually means when you're confronted with a it says diverse temptations. The word temptations actually, it means, trials, tribulations, or difficulties. So, the guy who has prepared himself, James is talking to Christians who rightly assuming that these people should be prepared to do something when a crisis starts. He's not talking about somebody who didn't have the Bible before. Because if you read in chapter 5, he's telling the people, is any sick among you? Supposing that everybody should be well because they had the word. Amen. It's not, it's different today. Is there anybody just say, you're not going to assume that you know that people are sick because they don't know about the things of God. They haven't even protected themselves, insulated themselves with preparation, feeding themselves every day with the word of God. So when crisis comes, they shatter and they fall apart. So let me tell you and remind you of something. If you don't prepare yourself for the day of reckoning with trial and trouble, you will go into a crisis mode, and you'll stay there for 6 months. You'll stay there for a year. You'll stay there for even longer, and then during that time, you'll accumulate other troubles, financial troubles, relationship problems, and you blame people. You blame God. You blame people for what your trouble is. And then you'll have to deal with yourself. You'll have to recover yourself out of that and forgive yourself for being so stupid and not listening to people that tell you that you have to be prepared. You know, the guys who go UFC fight, yeah, how many of you ever watch UFC or anything like that? Well, they don't practice the night before. They say, somebody, whoever here, he's going to be fighting you. They say, well, I'll just practice the night before and then, you know, just watch a few films, you know. I should be able to take him. No, he's been really intensely preparing himself for that day. So you and I have to prepare ourselves for the day when, you know, there's going to be a time when there is a crisis, so you're prepared every single day. You don't just prepare once in a while and read your Bible once in a while and read, you know, try to eat, you know, five chapters of something, you know, one Saturday morning. And then you're thinking, oh, you've done it, and you feel so good. Pat yourself on the back. Woo-hoo, yeah, wow, you read five chapters, but you didn't read the last 12 months. And something's happening in 2 days. You know, so this is what James is talking about. My brethren, count it all joy. Brothers, he's talking about brothers or sisters. Count it all joy. You can't count it all joy. You can't consider it joy if there's a trial. Most people go into crisis mode right away, start crying, and blame everybody for their trial. And then, you know, it says, when you fall into divers temptation, tests, and trials. Now, I wanted to stop there, but let me just go on the second part of that verse. It says, knowing this. Well, if you don't know this, if you read the rest of the scripture, knowing this, that your actual faith is supposed to deal with the trial, you're supposed to use your faith for that trial, knowing that when you begin to perseverance, or when you're walking in patience and faith, that you're going to overcome this. If you don't know that, you're going to fall apart. You're going to say that, you know, me and God, we're going to stand together with this, and we're going to go through this. God, I know you're not going to let me down, because I'm going to go through this situation. You can't say that if you've never been prepared. You can't act that way if you didn't prepare for the last 12 months or the last 12 years. You know, some of you don't understand this, but, you know, relatives are going to die. No matter how much you pray about it, no matter how much you went to church, or no matter how many times you've done different things, relatives around you are going to pass away. And they're going to have trial. So what are you going to do about it? Maybe there's nothing you can do except begin to prepare yourself. How are you going to react to it? And how are you going to come out of it? Are you going to be so disabled for 6 months that you can't do anything and be a man or woman or husband or wife to your partner or to a mother to your children that you go into a crisis for that long? God doesn't want you to be disabled. He wants you to be strong. I've known people that are Christian. They have someone who died that's 90 years old. And hey, listen, that person is 90 years old. Give me a break. Give them a break. Let them go home. Now, I might sound pretty drastic, but, you know, listen, we're going to cry about it. But listen, you know, they're old. They want to go home. So prepare yourself. Now, I'm not being mean. I'm being straight with you, because things are going to happen in life. You're not going to come through this world without having a crisis situation and say, oh, you know, right? This ain't supposed to happen to me. Well, it did. Not just you, but it happened to somebody, and then, you know. But, okay, so go to John 16:31. Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. 16:31. But in this world, or in this world or in the world, you might or probably have some trouble. Is that what he said? So when trouble comes, you say, you know, let's call, where's the hotline? Whose hotline is open? Benny Hinn's open? Well, we're going to have a short one. Just only on Sunday morning. You know, it's okay to have that. Like, some people need that. But you guys who are taught here and you come to this church, you don't need that. You should start acting what we taught you. Act on the word. Stop depending on other people for your prayer. I know some of you don't call me because you know what I'm going to tell you. Right? What am I going to say to you? Please pray for me. You say, what am I going to tell you? Pray for yourself. What's wrong with your prayer? It should work. Isn't your prayer working today? Now, we'll agree with you and pray with you. Sure, yeah, we'll do that. But you all can pray. Jesus said, when you go to your prayer closet, that's what Jesus said, right, in the fifth chapter. When you go to the prayer closet, he didn't say when your mother goes to your prayer closet, make sure they pray for you. No, you go to your prayer closet. Am I getting too hard on you guys? No, listen, you know, this is training time. This is training time. I could save a lot of people a lot of trouble. My own relatives that are very close to me, I see the trouble they're going through, and I see different things happening to them, and I can't tell them anything because they won't listen to me. And you want to tell them, right? You want to tell them, you know, hey, this is the way to do it. They say, oh, no, this, well, you know, they know everything. Oh, yeah, you're just a Christian. You guys are too superstitious. You shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. So he's telling us something, you know, giving a double message that, you know, you're going to have trouble, but listen, I'm going to be there with you. I'm going to take you through this. You're going to have my peace, and we're going to get through this together. Everybody say, me and Jesus, we're going to get through this. Say, I can't go down, because if he goes down, I go down, he comes out with me, and he's not going down. See, Jesus can't go down. He's with you. You're with Jesus. If you're with Jesus, he can't go down. He's not going to go down. Say, you know, Jesus, he went down. No, he's not going to go down. Acts 14:22. Here's Paul. He's traveling all over the place, has all kinds of trouble. I've been reading this, you know, in the book of Acts at nighttime, and I'll read this, you know, Paul having all kinds of trouble, getting beaten up, kicked out of town, people trying to search for him, trying to beat him up, kill him up, whatever, skin him up, whatever they're doing. And they sent him out of town, hide him, let him down, you know, out of town on a, you know, basket, get him on somewhere else. And they stoned him, and they put rocks to him, and knock him out, and pray for him, and he gets back up, and he goes preaching again. So, after having some trouble, he says, Acts 14:22, and confirming the souls of the disciples, that's him and his buddy there, and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that they must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Much tribulation. Enter the kingdom of God. So, that's talking about crisis. And it's not going to kill you. You know? Well, it might. Some folks, it might kill them, but not you. You're going to live and not die. We just said that at the beginning. Psalm 100, and was it 17 or 18? Verse 17. Everybody say, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. You see, here's what God, I want to tell you something. Here's what God did for me. Here's what happened to me. God took me out of that situation. I was sick, but now I'm sick, not sick anymore. I went to jail, but I'm not in jail anymore. I went to a nut house, but I'm not in a nut house anymore. I went there. I did. I went there. But I came out. They said, this guy's too crazy. Get him out of here. Someone said, the devil, you're so bad that even the devil doesn't want you. I don't know. That's true. Now, Psalm 34:19. This is where Paul's getting all this stuff from another source in the Bible, the Psalms and the prophets. Mary, are you here tonight? Bless you, Mary. Scriptures, Psalm 134:19, is just for you tonight. A few afflictions, no? Everybody say, many. Many are the afflictions. That's the tests and trials. It's not talking about sickness, but merely afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord delivered them out of half of them. Oh. That's what people read. Oh, you know, he just delivered some of them. Everybody say all. So say all my afflictions. I'm delivered from all my afflictions. So put that in there. Just say, thank God. You know, no matter what trial it is today, I'm in a crisis right now, but I'm coming out of this. Say, I'm coming out of this. Some of you are still kind of lingering in that trouble, but you're coming out. You see the light over there. Hallelujah. There's trouble all around us. I'm driving around the other night. Yes, in fact, right now, my wife and I just came. You know, we went to get the puppy something. We stopped off over there, and we went into the, what is that place called? Near PetSmart, Pet Shop, the Pet Shop Boys. We went in there, and then there was somebody. We went right down to the other side where the chicken place is. I never got to eat any chicken, but I went in there to get something to eat. And there was somebody there with a sign asking for money. So I got out and I was waiting for something to cook up my stuff. And I started getting attacked by seagulls. There was like several of them coming. I think they must have all been ganging up on me because they're just zooming like this. I don't think they like my puppy. And they just came on and I tried to slug one as they went by. Let's just come by. It was horrible. So people, this guy has a crisis. You know, the people didn't want me to get in there. I don't know if the Lord is trying to tell me not to eat that. Just send a seagull to help out here. Yeah. So many are afflicted. So how many afflictions? But so how many of them will God get you out of? All of them. Say all of them. So anybody got afflictions? Yeah. Well, you just say, I'm coming out of it. I'm going to just tell the devil, you know what? I'm getting out of this. And I'm going to tell everybody what you try to do to me. I'm going to tell everybody how I got out of it. That's what you got to do. I'm telling everybody how you couldn't kill me. I'm telling somebody how you couldn't keep me under that problem. I'm going to tell people. I'm telling on you. That you couldn't do it. Yeah, amen. That's true. I'm telling you guys, come on, that's true. Tell somebody about it. You know, you say, oh, you know, the devil will hear me. Well, let him hear you, because you need to let him know that you're not scared of him. You're not supposed to be scared of the devil. Because in some churches, they're scared of the devil. Because they don't know about God. They don't know their authority in God. They never took any courses in the authority. They don't know how to pray. So they're asking everybody to pray for them because they think that God couldn't listen to little old them. It's not about you. It's about Jesus, what Jesus did, and that you can go under the power of Jesus and in his name and go in his righteousness before God. It's not because the pastor is 30 years or he's got 70 like millions of souls under his belt. No, it's about you and Jesus together. I want to tell you people in this church, like, you know, learn to pray for yourself. Learn to believe in your own prayer. Because it's going to be a crisis when you don't have anybody there but yourself. Oh, my Lord. Okay. In Matthew chapter 7, let's go here, verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them not, I will liken unto him a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came and blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. He's telling us, you know what? There's going to be a crisis no matter if you build your house and you read your Bible and go to church and praise and work in the church, you're still going to have trouble. And if you don't go to church and you don't pray, you're going to have trouble too. Drinking, doing all these things that people do out there. You're going to have trouble, but somebody's going to fall. And they ain't going to be the one who read their Bible and went to church and worked for the things of God. They're not going to fall. Jesus said they won't fall. They'll be like a rock. They'll be strong. Like, you know, all the things that you think is going to keep you solid right now. You think, oh, you know, I got this. I got my education standout. I got this. I got that. No, listen to me. One of these days, you're going to come to the place where you know that only God can help you. Only God can do it. Your education is not going to do it. All your friends with money is not going to do it. All the stuff that you got, all the stuff don't mean nothing until something happens in your life. We started on today with Miss Kendra in our staff meeting. We talked about some things. You know, sometimes when things go wrong, nothing else matters except you know, your loved one, right? And sometimes you can't help them. There's a day that you might not help them, be able to help them. I cried over my mom. I cried over my sister. I cried over my brother. I cried over another brother. I cried over another one. How I couldn't help them. And I remember Brother Hagin, as I'm talking to them, lamenting over this situation because I couldn't pray them out of it. I couldn't get them out of it with my prayer. And, of course, when my mom died, I didn't know faith. I didn't understand my authority. I didn't know where my authority started, where it ended with somebody else's own life. I remember Brother Hagin said I couldn't pray when he started praying for his relative. And they died, and he was believing God. He said, how come they died? I was believing for them. The Lord said to them, you know, it's between me and that person. It means between me and your relative, not between me and you. I think Deuteronomy 29:29 says, you know, the things of God belong to us, but the things that are belong to him. You know, some things are kept between God and that person. They have a personal relationship with God. You can carry people so far on your own faith. You might pray them out of a crisis situation a few times, but then again, another time later on, when they don't come around and learn, they come, they're gonna die. When my brother, you know, I worked with my brother for year after year after year, pray for him many times. You know, he come in one day, he says, "Bro, I got cancer. Pray for me." The Lord said to me, "No, he's not gonna. You know, prayer's not gonna help him this time." That's scary. That, you know, your prayer stops at a certain time, no longer is going to work in this situation. Same with my own very own mother. So you can only do so much with your prayer for somebody else. Unless God supersedes that and does something special when it comes to special miracles. They have a relationship on their own. You can't control everybody with your prayer, with your spiritual life. If you did, everybody'd be alive right now. Everybody'd be a millionaire. We'd all be driving nice cars, nice houses, and having nice boats and fishing out there somewhere. And you'd have the best health. You'd be running, everybody running a marathon. Nobody's laughing because it's true. So Jesus said, hey, the rains are going to come, boys. The flood's going to come. The wind's going to blow. What you gonna do about it, boy? So you know, I want to build my house on the sand. No, build your house on a rock, the solid rock foundation of God's word. Let's go to Isaiah 38:1-5. Are you getting something out of this, or
yeah?
In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. This guy was really sick. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, thus said the Lord, set your house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Stop there for a second. What if you went to a Kenneth Copeland convention? Kenneth Copeland called you out of the audience and said, you're about to die. The prophet of God spoke to you. You're about to die. Get yourself ready. Go home and make sure you go to your lawyer and make sure you do all that stuff and get ready and, you know, whatever will you got, make sure that's in order and you're about to die. Do you think Hezekiah was in a crisis? He is. He had a crisis situation. He's about to die. He's a king. He's the boss. What's more higher than the king? And so he said, you shall die and not live. Notice this. Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord. So in the time of crisis, the answer is right here. You can't be looking at anything else except the Lord and the word of the Lord. Now, the word of the Lord came unto the man of God, the prophet, came unto him, telling another person in ministry, so to speak, like a prophet and a king are talking. These are people who were anointed under the things of God. And he's telling them, you will not live, but you're going to die. And so the guy turns his face to the wall. When he's talking about turning his face to the wall, he's turning away from everything else he knows except turning to God. I don't know about you, but I've been there in situations where, you know, I'm turning my face to the wall. I'm just looking to God for my answer. And God's word, somewhere in there, it's contained. My answer is in the word somewhere. It's got to be there. And so he turns his face to the wall. Now, first of all, God showed him that he's going to die. If you're going to die, I believe God could show you're going to die. Or if you're going to be close to death, I think God can show you that and help you prepare either to avoid it or just to prepare. Get yourself right so that you can go on to eternity without any trouble. And so this guy had that situation. So here, I was going to mention something else, but let me carry on for a second. He says, he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, and he said, remember, O Lord, I beseech thee, I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which was right. And I said, now listen, he is negotiating with God. He's telling God why he should live longer. And you and I need to, when we, in a time of crisis, we need to talk to God and reason with God and tell God why you should live longer, why you shouldn't have the situation. I remember Brother Hagin had a time of crisis. He said he had a financial crisis. He couldn't pay his rent. Yet he's a man of God. I mean, he's in ministry for a number of years, and he's having financial problems. And he said, I can pray for my kids to get well, but he's broke. He doesn't have a way to, you know, get himself out of the situation. He's arguing with God. He took the scripture, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19. He says, what does it say there? Isaiah 1:19, it talks about, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. So he took that before God. God says, you don't qualify. God told me, you don't qualify for this. He said, what are you talking about? He said, I've done this, I've done that, and done that. He said, yeah, but you haven't. You as a minister, as a person, you did everything grudgingly. You followed me, and you did everything grudgingly. You were obedient, all right. You followed me, but your heart was not right. When you followed me, you did it with an ugly heart. You didn't do it unto me with a grateful heart. And God said, you don't qualify. That's why you're having a hard time. And he said he got adjusted real quickly. He said, God, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it with some happiness. I'm going to do it with joy. I'm going to follow you, do what you said to do. And all of a sudden, he got in a good place with God. Sometimes it's just a quick adjustment in your heart to get it right with God in a time of crisis. and start repenting. How many people know when you ever have a trouble and your crisis, you're repenting about a lot of things? You know, just said, Lord, I'm sorry for that. Forgive me for that. I stole that. I want to give that back. I told a lie over there. I'll never tell a lie again. Nobody's looking at me because they're pretending they're reading their Bible. But you see, this guy, he turned his face to the wall. He said, I've done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. I mean, that's big tears. Big, big tears. Then the word of the Lord came unto Isaiah again. He said, go and say to Hezekiah, thus said the Lord, the God of thy father David, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thee 15 years. 15 years. So he extended his life. How many people know, listen to me, I want you to understand this, listen to this very carefully. You can add to your life, and you can shorten your life. If you read the book of Proverbs, you can see all this. I mean, God wants all of us to have long life. Psalm 91 and 16 said, with long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation. When you decide you want to go home, you can go home. You don't have to get, you know, out of whack, out of sorts. You can go when you want to go home. You don't have to be in a hospital, tormented. You can't walk, you can't see, you can't eat, you can't enjoy anything, you can't go to the bathroom, you can't even enjoy that. God wants you to function, and then when you're ready to go, you go. Go home and say, hey, I'm going home today. Just be happy. I heard stories about people that said, you know, Grandpa said, I'm going home today, I'm going home. They say, yeah, he's really senile, though. He's acting up this morning. He's saying he's going home. He thinks he's home. He thinks he's somewhere else. He thinks he's going home today. But he's in a hospital, see? Or some of them is at home already. But he said he's going home. Then he said, you know, I'm going home today about 3 o'clock. He kept saying that. And 3 o'clock came around. He's sitting up in bed. He said, oh, there's Jesus. I'll see you guys. Bye-bye. And he's gone. Well, God showed him. He's going home today at 3 o'clock. That's more than one time. Preachers that I know that we read about today have done that. Paul said, I'm about to go home, guys. I finished my course with joy in the ministry. I'm going home. You know, you need to say this, you know, like, Second Chronicles, last chapter, there's, you can insert your name there. And Roma Fisher died in a good old age, full of riches and honor. That means you're going to live long, or I'm going to live long. It means I'm going to be rich and not going to be poor when I die. It means I'm going to have honor, that people are going to respect me when I die. And when I die, they say good things about Roma Fisher. They're not going to say, that rotten rat, I'm glad he's dead. We talked about that the other day at the pastors' meeting. We meet every month with the pastors in the city. We talked about that. I said, you know, what's your legacy? What are people going to say about you when you die? You just church hopped everywhere? You tried planting churches, you never went? Or did you leave a good legacy behind you? What kind of leadership did you build? You know, we want to leave something. We want to leave something. We want to leave something. When Papa died, they said, you know that song? Papa was a rolling stone. When he died, remember that? All he left was a lone, 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 lone. Papa was a rolling stone. All he left was alone. When he died, woo-hoo. Well, when Papa died, he left us alone. He left us, you know what, full of bills and stuff, and trouble. He didn't just leave us alone, physically alone, but he left a loan for us to pay off for him when he died. What are you going to leave when you leave? When you die, you say, oh, we got to pay off Roma Fisher's car. It's 7 years old, but he still hadn't paid it off. No? And you say, well, you know, when Roma died, he left me alone. Eh? Man, the 10 grand, he left me something. He said, the lawyer said, come over and get it. He said, but I'm scared to get it. I think you guys had enough. Let's go ahead and stand up.